I have a timely resource for a very specific group of you. If you remember listening to episode 51, How to Use Your School Counseling Skills in Private Practice, you'll remember my friend and former colleague, Lorraine Holman. Lorraine set out to start her own private practice and now wants to teach you why you should and how to open your own viable private practice as a licensed professional counselor. Join Lorraine at a live 2-day virtual private practice workshop for school counselors. This 4.5-hour training will cover LPC licensure steps, private practice documentation essentials, developing your niche and ideal client, maximizing your profit, marketing for beginners, and essential mindset shifts from school counseling to private practice. You'll walk away from this workshop with the tools and confidence that you need to launch your private practice as a full-time or part-time option. Register today for this paid workshop. Space is limited to 15 school counselors and it costs $259. I'm a huge fan of Lorraine and the work that she's doing as an LPC supervisor and a former high school counseling department head. Head back to episode 51 to hear more about her story, but more importantly, if you have a tug to learn more about the practicalities of moving into private practice, I want you to head to counselorclick.com/private practice to learn more and sign up. That's counselorclick.com/private practice, and I hope you'll get to learn from Lorraine at the live workshops on June 7th and June 15th. Hello, podcast listeners. Lauren here. I am the host of High School Counseling Conversations, and I feel honored that you would join me for another week of this podcast. So usually you're used to hearing my individual voice sharing a topic with you, but today I have a guest. I have a really special guest who has a lot to say about college and post-secondary options, along with school counselor advocacy, which are all topics that I love talking about. She comes highly decorated with lots of accolades that she's just so humble when she talks about them. I think you're going to love hearing her story and hear where she has come from in her career as a professional, as a school counselor. So let me introduce you to Priscilla, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about, and then we'll jump into the show. You got into this profession to make a difference in your students' lives, but you're spread thin by all of the things that keep getting added to your to-do list. I can't create more hours in the day, but I can invite you into my Counselor Click, where you'll finally catch your breath. Come with me as we unpack creative ideas and effective strategies that'll help you be the counselor who leaves a lifelong impact on your students. I'm Lauren Tingle, your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Priscilla Grijalva has been a school counselor for 18 years, where she has experience working at the middle and high school levels. She's led Citrus Hills Intermediate School to its first recognized ASCA Model Program recognition and was the first middle school to earn recognition in CNUSD. She led AUSD to 5 national recognitions by former First Lady Michelle Obama for Reach Higher and voter registration efforts. She has served as a university adjunct instructor, University of California application reader, Tennessee Achieves mentor, high school basketball coach, and hosts the educational podcast called Reach Higher Riverside. I love having a fellow podcaster on the show, too. That's so fun. She serves on local, state, and national school counselor committees to have a voice in the decisions that affect students. She was featured in Forbes 2 times for her work with Reach Higher and was recognized by the U.S. Air Force as a distinguished educator. Priscilla was named the 2022 National Life Changer of the Year and the 2023 California Woman of the Year. She's a champion for students in assisting them to reach for higher education or training through financial aid. As you can see, Priscilla comes highly accomplished, and I knew before we even got started that she has so much to offer podcast listeners. In this episode in particular, Priscilla and I talk about her involvement in college accessibility and high school counselor advocacy, which I already mentioned, some of my favorite things to talk about. She's made quite the splash in her advocacy efforts, which has come as a result of her confidence growing with her years of experience in the field. I hope you love this episode as much as I love chatting with Priscilla. Let's get into the special guest interview today. Hey, Priscilla, thank you for joining me on High School Counseling Conversations. I'm really excited for the value that you're going to bring to listeners today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
I have already told listeners about all of your accolades and the places that you are involved and that you advocate for school counselors, which is amazing and awesome, by the way. But I would love to first just dive right in and talk about your involvement with the Reach Higher initiative, because I know that that is something that you are really involved in. So tell us like what that is, how you got familiar with it, and why you chose to get involved with Reach Higher.
Well, thank you. It started back in about 2014 when former First Lady Michelle Obama spoke at the American School Counselor Association conference. It just seemed like she really understood what we were going through as school counselors. And I really love helping students go on for more education or training. And I know that there's not just one pathway for students. So when she started to promote all options beyond high school, that really encouraged me and motivated me to do more for my students. So I left that conference all fired up and I went back to my school, and we used to have a college club and college Thursdays. And so I started to implement different things to be more equity focused for our students. And I even remember having a conversation with one of my students. He wanted to go to community college. And I followed up with him at the end of the year and I said, "Hey, what are you doing after high school? Are you still following through with your plan?" And he had said, "No, he's not going to college." And I said, "Well, you told me you were going to community college." And he said, "Miss Grijalva, that's not college." And I said, "It is." And he said, "Well, every Thursday they promote college Thursdays and everyone's wearing university shirts." So from that point on, I started to call it Reach Higher Thursdays.
Because you wanted to change like the narrative of that like, hey, you are going to college. That's what this is.
Yeah. I wanted people to know that was important and it was a big deal. And we support all options, right? And so when we started to change the name to Reach Higher Thursdays and like got the word out about what it was, hey, you can wear any college, CTE, military, apprenticeship, career shirts, right? We want to make sure we support all options. So then the culture started to change and people started to participate and we got partners involved, like our local colleges, military, everyone. So then from that point on, then there was this contest that Reach Higher had put on. And they wanted to promote financial aid. So whoever had the highest FAFSA completion and also did a video that was pretty good. I guess you could say you had like a 5-minute video. Then you would possibly be in the running for former First Lady to come to your school for graduation. Well, we had hit about 87% FAFSA completion rate that year, thanks to our amazing staff and students. And she didn't come to our school, but we did get a letter. And our students were in her White House video.
Oh, cool.
And they were so excited. Yeah, it was a big deal. And then from that point on, it just kind of grew. It was like, let's not give up. And even though there was no contest, it was only that one year, me and my students and our staff continued to persevere and continue to reach higher activities. So our college going rates and our FAFSA completion rates, everything continued to increase every year because our students were motivated.
That's awesome.
And it wasn't just about Michelle Obama. It was about going on for more education or training. So once we started to see that, like the discipline decreased, the attendance rates went up, grades went up because kids had hope for their future and they started to connect the dots. Like it wasn't just one pathway. Hey, this impacts, you want to go military enlistment, you want to go CTE, whatever it is, this impacts your future.
That is such an inspiring story.
Yeah, it gets better because my students started to create videos, social media campaigns. We got like everyone involved. It was like the senator, congressman, assembly members, the mayor, our school board.
You're probably like, what did I just create here? Like a tidal wave of the next pathway culture.
Yeah, I mean, it was something I will never forget. And once we started to do that, it was like 2018, we got an invite to I Am Becoming, which is Michelle Obama's book that she had written. And we went to her tour with my Reach Higher Club. And that was amazing. And then 2019, I get a phone call that my senior class is going to go see former First Lady at UCLA for the National College Signing Day.
Cool.
So we took them. And then it gets better. Two of my students were asked to be on stage with her and speak in front of 10,000 people.
Wow.
So one of my students, he was an English learner and he came into my office and he was just like, "Miss Grijalva, I don't know if I can do this and speak in front of 10,000 people." And so I helped him practice, and I told him my story about when I was a kid, I had gotten in an accident and I had to go through speech therapy and I had to have surgery. I had to go through some things that were very difficult in life. And so I kind of understood where he was coming from. And so I was like, you know, I went to speech therapy, I practiced, and, you know, I was able to speak at my college graduation as the senior class president. And so then he kind of was like, okay, I got this. And he gets up and he speaks in front of 10,000 people. And then he thanks me on stage in front of Michelle Obama. And that just melted my heart.
Oh my goodness.
To this day, I mean, I keep in touch with all of them. And then you go on to 2020, we hit the pandemic. And right before we had hit the pandemic, our students were on this mission. They were like, we're going to get high voter registration rates because our community, especially where we were at, they weren't really registering to vote. And so in the state of California, if you're 16 or older, you can register to vote. So we had over 1,000 registered to vote in our community just with our student and our staff advocacy. And Michelle Obama took notice of that. So we're in a pandemic and we're having a Zoom meeting about voter registration, and in pops Michelle Obama out of nowhere.
Oh my goodness.
My students were like on CNN, MSNBC. They were on all these stations. I don't even remember because they were like my little celebrities. And then they got like a virtual prom that year. I mean, that is a very long story. There's so much to this story, but it just kind of continued. And to this day, I even have a retired club that I'm starting at my current high school with some amazing students. And one of my interns is helping me. So it just continues to impact our students.
That is amazing. What do you think was the like starting point for it? Do you think like you are a naturally competitive person? Like you're like, I want to win this thing, or you just saw like all this potential in your school? Like if we got the right people on board, I think we could get some momentum here.
Yeah. You know, I'm very competitive. I'm also one that perseveres. I don't give up. So if I don't win something, or if my students are disappointed, I want the world for them. So I will continue to advocate for them. So one of the things that really helped too was just seeing the hope in my students and their lives change with going on for more education or training. So seeing them persevere pushed me even more. And then it pushed our staff and like our community. Just where I was at, I worked at, see, this is my fourth high school I'm at. The first high school, it was about, I think, 80% socioeconomically disadvantaged. And then the second one where my students were recognized by former First Lady as well, that one went up to 87%. And so that one was a great community. Students' lives were changed going on from our education or training. And so I think it was just that. And growing up first generation, I understood I needed that push. I needed a school counselor to help me with everything.
Yeah. And that's wild that, you know, that's a high percentage of, like you said, either free and reduced lunch or SES disadvantage students, that you really were probably changing a whole culture of showing them what was possible and saying, hey, here are the different pathways, instead of just this is what has always been done, or this is what has been done in my family, or this is what my parents know of like what's available. You being one person is so cool and encouraging that like you could start that and create a tidal wave to make an impact, a generational impact on these students and their families. I'm sure you've already heard, you know, of amazing stories of where those students have been in just 5 years or something. And that probably continues to motivate you.
Yeah, it continues to motivate me. And I even think about like one of my students, he owns his own business. He actually went on to be the national champion in track. So one of his businesses that he owns is carpet cleaning. So he comes and he cleans my carpets. And
you like still get to see him and be proud of him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm so proud of him. But I mean, that's just one example of several that, I mean, another student owns their own balloon company business. And I look at everything that they just continue to persevere and they achieve their dreams. And it's just like, wow, like, you know, our teachers, our staff, our counselors all impacted these students' lives.
I was going to ask you if there was, you know, one moment in particular where you felt really proud of the work you were doing or the students you were working with, but it sounds like you probably have so many. Is there one that like really stands out as the student story that we need to hear to keep us motivated as high school counselors?
I think there's so many stories. I'm proud of all my students, and the main thing is their student success. I get a little teary-eyed thinking about it. probably just seeing my students persevere during the pandemic when we were virtual. Those students that went on for more education or training or working to support their families and just continue despite the odds. And then like having that surprise from Michelle Obama on Zoom, like really pushed our school to persevere because like somebody took notice of them during a pandemic, you know? So I think that that was something, all of those things I will never forget. I look back at my career and I'm just like, wow, like my students and I and my and the staff I worked with, we've just experienced incredible things. And I'm like, yeah. I'm so grateful that God has blessed me and my students with so many amazing things that I can't even pinpoint one thing.
Right. And when you found yourself in the midst of that, because even just that timeline of like just all those things happening, were you like, how is it me? Like, I think I would be like looking around like, how did I get lucky enough to be the person who's here? And like, to one, be leading such like passionate and motivated students. I mean, that's everyone's dream, right? And then, but to also have just the influence, I guess, now that you get to represent on MSNBC or talk to Michelle Obama, like those places are huge for school counselors to be sharing their passion, their advocacy. Were you ever like, is there a pinch me moment? Like, am I going to wake up from a dream moment for you?
Yeah, there were a few times, and I have mentors in my life. I did call them and I'm like, did this just happen? Somebody pinched me.
Right.
But like, I think it's not just me. I have incredible mentors in my life and I call on them, and I even had this former principal who's amazing. She like called us the best in the world and she pushed us to be better. And she actually passed away, but to this day, I still think of her. And I think about like how she just motivates people. And I try to use that in my life with my current students and staff, because I think they're amazing. And I think people need to know that. And I also think about like my family who just pushed me. And obviously I have a lot of faith. So I think God's blessed me in all my areas. And I'm just incredibly grateful for all the people he's given me.
What advice would you give to a counselor who maybe doesn't feel like they have that mentor figure to them right now to ask questions of, or, you know, lean into when times are tough? What would you say to that counselor right now?
I would say find the people in your life that you aspire to learn from and that you trust and you've seen their character. So just to give you an example, like I look to people in leadership that I know have been very supportive and have humility.
Like the qualities that you want to emulate, the one things that you want, you find those people.
Yeah, yeah. Or even like it could be people that are good in different areas in your life that you're not good at. So I never did my FAFSA because, you know, my school counselor at the time, I never blame her. I just don't think she knew about it. And so I went into high school counseling and I didn't even know how to do a FAFSA. And so I reached out to this person who's just amazing and taught me the ins and outs of FAFSA and mentored me through that. And now I know how to do FAFSA, right? So you just find those people in your life that you really need help with, or maybe you just need to bounce ideas off of, or maybe you're having a bad day and you just need a vent. Like, you need all that in your life. And I think no matter how old you are, you should have a mentor. And it doesn't just have to be one, it can be several.
Yeah. And probably maybe as an encouragement too, like those people might change throughout your professional career or throughout your lifetime. Like, you might need different people or different types of personalities to mentor you at different seasons in your life too. And that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that's good advice. I wanted to let you know about my free, editable starter scholarship spreadsheet to keep your high school students organized and motivated while pursuing financial aid for college. There's an entire tab dedicated to the undocumented student resources, as well as schools that meet 100% need for students. Students and counselors can stay organized with this spreadsheet and upcoming scholarship deadlines with the month-by-month tabs. If you already own this, head back and re-download it because it's been updated for this school year. Download your copy for free today by going to counselorclick.com/scholarship. Now, back to the show. You kind of talked about this a little bit, but what sort of initiatives did you put in place at your school to increase that college access or broaden the awareness for their post-secondary options for your students? Like, you mentioned the Reach Higher Club, and is that something that you have done at all the schools that you've worked at? Because it sounds like it went well. Like, what kinds of other things have you done?
So yeah, that, and then just breaking apart some of the things that Reach Higher has already done, like the Beating the Odds Summit, having that really helps too. So basically, with the Beating the Odds, you have guest speakers come back. It could be someone from the military, college, former students, someone in the community that students really look up to. It could be a mayor, anyone. And you just help them with questions. So maybe a student has a question about college dorms or financial aid, and these people are on a panel and they answer their questions and help them to get past the summer melt or whatever the students may have questions about. Also, Reach Higher Thursday. So every Thursday, having students wear college or military apparel. I mean, it can be any day. It doesn't even have to be called Reach Higher Thursday, just making sure all of that is inclusive. Another thing that was implemented was our financial aid, like making sure that it's a school-wide systemic effect. It can't just be on the school counselors. It has to be your student leadership, your secretaries, your teachers, ASB, I mean, administration, everyone needs to be involved. So building those partnerships with your staff and those relationships is so important. As far as all of that, I think also building relationships with your community. So I'm a big advocate with building relationships, not just with my community, but like I go to NACAC and you meet all those college representatives from across the nation. And I get their information and I invite them to our stuff to help us, or I can call them because I have their information. So if a student's applying to Oklahoma State University or any university, I have a contact I can reach out to help that student. So just making sure that you're continuing to be able to build those relationships. I think that's part of the whole initiatives. And then obviously, you know, making it a team thing, not just a counselor thing.
Right. And because if you're just trying to make it a counselor thing, you're going to get burnt out by it. There are so many moving pieces and you probably have so many ideas of things you want to implement. But if it's all riding on your shoulders, like, no, there are, like you had said, there are things that like somebody else is going to be better at than you anyway. So let's like tap into other people's strengths and get them all on board with the same shared mission and vision. You actually answered what my next question for you was going to be, how has networking with peers or colleagues or community stakeholders, how has any of those played into your college initiatives? But it sounds like you hit them from all of that, from when within your school walls, you are connecting with people in your local community, and then in a broader, I mean, across the nation by going to conferences and really putting yourself out there to meet people.
Yeah. And I think I also go back to, I'm a big basketball fan. So growing up, I played basketball and I loved Michael Jordan. So I watched him. And then I also like love the relationship that Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant had. So I like try to figure out how can I be better? And I find those people who are amazing. And then I go and I try to be just as good or maybe better, right? Yeah. Because I want to be the best school counselor for my students. And I think when you stay on top of your professional development, whether that's with the American School Counselor Association conferences and webinars or NACAC, whatever, or your local state conferences, like just making sure that you are staying on top of your game. Like that's the most important thing. And that's mainly what I learned with the Michael Jordan Kobe relationship, is that when you continue to get better and reach out for advice and stay humble, like you're going to be doing great things for your students.
Yes, that's such a good example of, you know, taking something from sports world, even that you could use that example with students, like that relates to students too, of saying like, hey, here's how I'm trying to be better in my professional life. Here's an example of how you can work harder, reach higher as a student and still accomplish amazing things, and see some good examples like out in the media and sports world. What is something that is frustrating to you right now about the college landscape or post-secondary options, like something you wish you could wave a magic wand and fix if you could?
Probably the most recent happenings with affirmative action. So currently I'm on a focus group for NACAC, Post Students for Fair Admissions, working with that to create support and just different things for our school counselors to help our students. I live in the state of California, and I know some other states that FAFSA, and I know we have the California Dream Act in California too, is now a completion requirement so that our students are knowledgeable and have that information about financial aid. So I wish that was nationwide. So that's my big dream, so that kids can get their free money and everything that they need beyond that. But other than that, I mean, those two things mainly stand out in my life right now. But I think those are there's a lot of things, but those are the two things.
Yeah. And I mean, how encouraging is it that like, okay, that's a frustrating thing for you, but you're on a board to have your voice heard and to make some changes about it, not just, you know, complain about it in your office and never do anything about it. Well, I think that also speaks to your passion for advocacy, where would you say that that comes from? Is that like a personal, is that why you got into school counseling? Because you wanted to be an advocate for students from the very beginning, or just your passion for school counseling advocacy and, you know, letting others know what school counselors do and stuff. Where does that come from for you?
It stems from a young age. So when I was telling you about when I had to go through speech therapy and all that, I really wanted to be better because I think people telling me that I wouldn't be able to publicly speak well because I wasn't improving. And then also sometimes I get made fun of because of certain words I'd say. I wanted to get better. So I practiced and I went to speech therapy. And then, like I told you, I went on to become senior class president, spoke in front of thousands, right? And here I am now on your podcast. Part of that whole thing was thinking about the people in my life. And then I had this acronym with tacos. So I loved eating tacos every Tuesday. And so my parents said, hey, if you go to speech therapy, we'll take you to get tacos. Well, in El Paso, Texas, Dairy Queen had the best tacos at the time. Right now, I don't think they still do. But in my opinion, they were amazing tacos. Like, I'm talking the real tacos, not the ice cream tacos.
That's funny.
And so with the acronym with tacos, T stood for thankful. So always be thankful where you're at in life, even if it's not where you want to be. Just knowing that you've come so far and you put in the work to be thankful. The A in the tacos stands for advocacy. So I'd always advocate for myself. And now I use it to advocate for my students and the school counseling profession. C stands for celebrate. So always celebrate your small wins and your big wins, but not just for you, but for your students and your staff and the people in your life. Like, celebrate them, appreciate them, let them know, because, you know, life goes by and you need to just acknowledge that. And then the O is just being open-hearted, like making sure that you're genuine and just loving on people, being sincere, right? And the S is sincere. So tacos, being sincere with just, you know, your life and how you advocate for people. And that's the most important for me in my life, is using that acronym. And that all ties into advocacy. So that's where it stems into. And I always go back to that acronym. So I'm always thanking and being grateful for the little things and the big things in my life.
I love that. Like, such a good way for you to just kind of ground yourself and say, like, am I moving forward in my advocacy mission, whether that's in my professional life or my personal life? And how am I staying true to myself and aligning to that? I love that. Well, being an advocate, like, I would naturally call you a leader. What would you say to a school counselor who just doesn't see themselves as a leader in their schools? Because I think all school counselors are leaders in their schools, but they just might not have the confidence or know how to be a leader, or like why someone would call them that. I disagree. But how would you encourage a counselor who doesn't feel like a leader among their coworkers or their teammates in their school?
Yeah, absolutely. So I agree with you. Like, we're all leaders as school counselors, and that's part of our profession. So sometimes we may not have the confidence to lead. I would say, you know, join committees, whether it's at your school or your district, your local state organization, or even national with ASCA. They have a ton of things you can volunteer for, and just get in there and help. Like, that's the main thing. You don't have to serve on a ton of committees, even just one, whatever you can do. But know that as a leader, when you continue to give back, you're continuing to grow your leadership skills. The second thing with all of that is, if you're not sure, like I said, get a mentor and just bounce ideas off of doing that. And I remember the first few committees I served on, I was doing it to just help, right? And I continued to do that. And then people started to be like, hey, you should run for this. You should run for that. I remember someone was like, you should run for CASC. And then I did that, and I was on their board for a little bit. And then here I am serving in the pandemic. And then someone was like, you should serve on ASCA. And then I didn't think about ever serving on ASCA as a national board member of an association, but I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of like how things worked out. And I'm incredibly grateful for all that. Like, you never know what's going to come your way. And I'm not telling you you have to serve on state and national boards. I'm just saying, like, if you struggle with that, use the TACO acronym. Like, always go back to that. Just be thankful where you're at. And advocating is so important. So advocating is part of leadership and growing in your skills. That's so important.
And even if you start small, like you said, like one committee here or there of something that you're passionate about, I feel like it can lead into, like you said, a leadership position in that same kind of committee or role. And then somebody notices, hey, I think you'd be great over here. And it just continues to snowball into a place where you have a lot of influence, whether, you know, that's your natural state of being or not. Counselors are influential among students and their peers in the school. We have voices that need to be heard. So I hate when people like don't think that they can be a leader. I'm like, you are, just by nature of like the role that you've stepped into, you're a leader.
Yeah. And I think it also can be a fear, right? So there's this quote that I love by Michael Jordan. He says, limits like fears are often just an illusion. So just to give you an example, like I told you about FAFSA, like I didn't know how to do it. So I had to get past that fear and learn it. Yeah. And once you get past that fear and you learn it, it gets better and better and better. And then before you know it, you're confident in it and you're not only helping your students, but you're helping the profession and changing things, right? So I told you about the state completion requirement in our state. I started to serve on committees because I wanted to advocate for that. And amazing people advocated for that at the state level and it happened. So you just use, if it's a weakness, learn from it and move forward and get past that fear.
Totally. That's so encouraging. You have shared so, like, your story is inspiring and encouraging, like just in itself, and then just all that you've accomplished through your advocacy. That has been a really cool story for me to hear. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you were like, let's talk about this in terms of advocacy or Reach Higher or college initiatives?
No, I think we pretty much touched on all of it. And I just thank you so much for letting me be on your podcast. I love the work that you do. And I hope that more people follow you on your social media. I see everything that you post and you're so inspirational and positive. So keep up the great work. And again, thank you for having me on your podcast.
You're so sweet. Priscilla, tell everyone where they can find you if they want to connect with you or listen to your podcast. Just share with the listeners and I'll keep it in the show notes too.
Yeah. So right now you can follow me on Reach Higher Riverside. So like the Reach Higher Initiative, but Reach Higher Riverside on Instagram, Twitter. We also have a Facebook. I haven't done my podcast in a while because I've been so busy, but I hope to get back into it.
But you have lots of old episodes too that they can go back and listen, pick out ones or binge all of them if they want to.
Yeah, absolutely. You can totally go back and look. It just gives tips on college and career, financial aid. And then if you want to follow me on my personal Twitter, I have a Priscilla23 Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me on LinkedIn under Priscilla Grijalva.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure people will reach out and connect with you because you shared a lot of great ideas, and at least they'll be following along for more of your initiatives and post-secondary ideas. So thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you. Have a good day, everyone.
Thanks again to Priscilla for sharing her college and post-secondary expertise. I knew that she would offer a perspective that is so, so valuable to other high school counselors. She did not disappoint. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a counseling colleague and share the High School Counseling Conversations love. I'll see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Feel free to send me a DM at Counselor Click. That's CLIQUE. I'll see you next week.